Vince standing by a big dial labeled graphic violence, turning it up a notch. You like that? All right. All right. Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrett Taylor, she, they, pull the Band-Aid off on the intro. And I'm doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and making it everybody's problem. This week's esteemed guest second try is Corey. Yay!
Woo! Hi there, everybody. I'm Corey, and she, her. Yep. She, her,
yeah. Okay, I just like to make sure.
Yeah, no, that's always a good thing to check.
Yeah, yeah, your pronouns will be respected, damn it. If we don't do it on mic, I'm going to get him in the note.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, whether you like it or not. Exactly.
You know what? I started working for, you know, as my like side hustle, whatever, for an online university. And one of the things you have to do is sort of, you know, you introduce yourself to your class, set out your expectations and things like that. And when I was doing training for it, one of the things that, you know, I had in my practice bulletin or whatever was like about like, you know, your pronouns and if your name is something that it doesn't say on there, like, tell me and like, we'll all respect that or whatever. And someone came in like with the comments, like just sort of like, not like trying to like fight it, but sort of in a like, you know, I'm always curious how people deal with people who, you know, don't like have a problem with that or whatever. And I was like, I mean, basically my attitude is fuck it. And the trainer was kind of like, well, we have to respect that some people are going to have a hard time. And I was just like, no, I don't actually think we have to do that.
Yeah, I don't think that's how that works.
No. Corey, I'm supposed to be the trainer here, but I think you're wrong.
I appreciate you doing that. Thank you, Corey.
It's just so silly. Sometimes, like, you're like, come on. Like, no, you put in your grown-up pants is what you do.
It's so much simpler than they want to make it. They want to make it sound like it's this complicated thing. It's like, no, you're just being a dick.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that easy. You just make people icky. Just say it. It will all feel better.
It's like, can you call someone whose name's David Dave? Then I think you're going to be able to figure it out, you know?
And we are here in the world of wrestling where names is like, it depends on the company, sometimes the country.
Let me tell you, I'm going to have a few questions here based on that, where it was like people kept showing up on my screen. I'm like, they're calling them this. Is that so-and-so, though?
It very well could be, because a lot of times it changes.
Yes.
Sometimes it contractually has to. We run into Vader this week, and Vader in Japan was Big Van Vader. His full name. And he was a beast. Yes, his Christian name. Big Van Vader. Actual Christian name, Leon White. Rest in peace. Former.
A lot of dead guys. A lot of dead guys here, especially Nitro this week.
Nitro was like a fucking graveyard. Happy Halloween, sickos. I love you guys.
It's a theme.
No, I would mention this before. I'm so happy that I have a host of Jack of All Graves on a blood-filled episode for Halloween, which, I mean, holy crap. So, like...
Yeah, it's perfect. Which, by the way, you got to get Marco on here at some point, not to jump the gun when I have barely been on here, but Marco is his username, Deadman97, comes from him being a giant fan of
Undertaker.
Undertaker. So
Hamster has now, like, occasionally guests and sometimes I will, in the course of this, come up with like names or concepts for these guys and it just sticks. And Undertaker will forever be the Lich. Hamster is like, I'm trying to make sense of this, and from my understanding is he's a Lich.
Okay.
And the power is in the urn that Mike Lindell, the My Pillow guy, Paul Bearer, his manager. This week I noticed that he fucking looks like Mike Lindell.
He does look like.
It's terrifying, but it's Paul Bearer, who was dead on January 6th. But he carries the urn. And so it's like Undertaker's a Lich.
I'm willing to get on board with this.
Yeah, that's fine with it. Kayfabe, baby, it works. You know, like,
I'm gonna start saying this to wrestling fans, and they're gonna be like, "What are you talking about?" Like, no, just trust me.
No, go
on good authority.
We talked. It was on. It's on a podcast. You know, it's real.
Exactly.
Oh God, no. but no, I would love to have Marco on. So I mean, outside of being friends and co-hosts with Marco, and outside of the one other time that I actually had you on the show that didn't stick.
It didn't stick.
Patreon listeners are familiar with fucking Craig. Craig dropped the ball. I dropped the ball for not, you know, checking on Craig. Sometimes you got to check on Craig. He's just a little bear bot.
It's a rite of passage with podcasting, though. I'm sure anyone who listens to this who has tried their hand at podcasting, at some point this is going to happen. In fact, on my old podcast, Electric Fan Cave, I had one where we had my friend Alex come on, and we did this great episode. It was like 3 hours on female friendship, and it was like so good. And the best part of it is the beginning of the recording one of like either Alex or Kristen going, so everything's working all right with the recording, and me going, yep, and then it stops.
Oh no.
That was the whole thing. We had to do the whole thing over again like a week later.
Got trolled by the recorder.
Yeah, like straight up trolled. Like, sometimes is everything okay?
There's something on the wing, Corey, and it's Craig, and he's
it's Craig
out like Mr. Bean. but this time it will stick. It does make me laugh though that like between you and Marco, like you're 2-0 right now technically. you've been on, if you think about it, you've been on the show twice. One of them didn't stick, but right, I put you through it. You did the homework, it counts.
I think that the phrase is I can't even make that work.
Yeah, work no.
Two for
folks, I'm
the point
kid.
Is I'm
the
winning.
Point is you're winning. The point is Corey wins, big old dub. But outside of that, what, any connection to wrestling before I poke you?
Oh my goodness. Well, so the first time that I attempted to be on here before Craig unceremoniously dumped me, I was your first noob, really. No one else on here, like everyone else that like was somewhat familiar at least with
the
product.
Part, I think Blue had noobish vibes, but also had gone to live events.
Right.
Just
didn't
know what was going on, which, you know, good for them.
Exactly. Which, you know, basically I had always kind of liked the idea of wrestling. When I was growing up, my mom was kind of like, she thought it was like trashy, and she, you know, she didn't like me watching things that she felt were trashy, especially if like there was a lot of like women in misogynistic things. Like, I wasn't allowed to watch MTV, I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling. Well,
what time frame are we talking, if you don't mind me asking?
When I was a kid?
Yeah. Because I'm 30 or 40 years old. I won't tell you.
I'm 39, so you know, we're talking the probably like prime this era, essentially, that we're talking about now.
In which case they were correct.
You were right for sure. But I definitely always had like an interest in that kind of thing. I'm a very like sportsy person. You know, I was always a jock growing up, but I also like danced and I did acting. And so like the theatricality mixed with the athleticism is like so up my street.
Oh, yeah.
And then the first like real wrestling thing I watched, because I tried to watch WWE a few times, and I was just like, unfortunately, I do not give a fuck.
Yeah, no, and depending on when you're catching it, it's hard.
Yeah, so this would have been probably like 6 or 7 years ago, maybe. I don't know, time is hard to gauge with the whole pandemic thing in between. So when
time,
I say 6 or 7 years ago, I might mean 10.
We abolished one year time. There was a memo. Did you get it?
Like, right. No, I mean, I missed that, but I'm on board.
It was really hard to deliver it on time is the problem. Like, a lot of people, it's probably still coming. Yeah, it might still be on its way. It's
stuck with the TVA has it somewhere. but I watched Total Bellas, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Entree into wrestling was I got super hooked on Total Bellas, super into Nikki and Bree, and of course, as such, Brian as well. You know, Brian, I felt like was he was my voice on that show because I love Nikki and Bree, but like they're the most unrelatable people on the planet. At the time,
I never
saw
it, but my understanding is that Brian was the one guy who was like, "This is weird, right?"
Yeah, all the time. Okay. Like, he just and was, you know. The twins are like kind of, you know, very materialistic gals and, you know, the cosmetic surgery and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And Brian, Brian, on the other hand, is the like, we need the smallest house we can possibly live in. Everything needs to be eco-friendly, like just, you know, he's this very like anti-consumerism, like down to earth, like always pointing out how weird every situation is kind
literal
of guy. And I was like, yeah, right, exactly. Which I am at the time I was vegan, but you know, he's just like very relatable to me.
I hope you know Vince hated that shit. Vince hated they did not get along, and like he got where he did by like hook and by crook, because Vince did not want him to be champion because he's the opposite.
Yeah, he's the antithesis of the like, whole thing. Yeah,
you're tiny, you're not jacked, you won't even kill something for a meal.
You absolute pansy.
Exactly. He's the opposite of what he thinks a champion should be, which is why when I finally watched all that shit, I was like,
and it's like he immediately resonated with me, and watching like his journey, both him and Bree being injured, like and going through all this stuff, really stuck with me. So then when I started podcasting with Mark, who is a lifelong wrestling fan but hates Vince McMahon and hates WWE, but is he became when AEW started up from day one, huge fan. And when we started talking more, it was kind of like casually like, yeah, you know, I'm kind of interested in wrestling. And what he did was he sent me the parking lot fight from the first year.
Probably the
best friends.
Yeah, that's become like their match now. Is the parking lot brawl.
The very first one, he sent me that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start watching this week. And it's been, you know, 4 years or something like that now that I've been watching.
Orange Cassidy has that effect on people.
Yeah, right? Like, come on. This week he was out there breaking my heart, looking all sad over Chuck Taylor. Like, listen, I love the guy. And the weird thing is, you know, I lived in Southern California for most of my adult life. And so I had friends who were into wrestling and stuff. So like once I got into it, all my friends were like, I invited you to go see Orange Cassidy, like, you know, like 4 or 5 years ago. I invited you to see Young Bucks.
Yeah, like no, well, if you were in like if you were in Southern California, then you were in their
territory.
That's their domain. Yeah,
exactly. So many of my friends were like, as soon as they saw me like wearing like a Orange Cassidy mask during lockdown times and stuff, they were like, I invited you to see him. I'm like, I'm sorry.
I didn't know.
I've learned my lesson now.
Oh, yeah, no, I think about all the times pre-pandemic that I could have gone to First Wrestling and saw Orange Cassidy versus, like, Danhausen. Like, that was happening in my backyard, and I had no idea because I was just getting back. I hadn't even gotten back into wrestling yet.
That seems like a common story, though, the, like, getting back into wrestling thing, you know, that a lot of people kind of fell off for a while, and then once AEW came around, managed to sort of reel them back in again.
That's what they were going for. I mean we're on Discord. I'm looking at the Discord for this other podcast, a particular podcast called The Lapsed Fan, and that's literally that's the whole concept. We're lapsed.
Famously, Mark does not listen to podcasts, which I give him crap about all the time, but when we first started, that was one of the few podcasts that he had ever heard before, was The Lapsed Fan. And he's like, oh, that was pretty good.
It's one of those things where, like, and I'm saying all this on mic because I've literally emailed this to them and they read it on the podcast.
Oh, nice.
They are the most cishet white dudes of all time. And with all of the problematic bits that come along with that. However, they have made it clear that they're trying.
Right.
And like, that's the best he can hope for. And I wouldn't, right. I wouldn't let that slide if they weren't so good at what they do.
Right.
And I love to have my friends and my newbies come on here and talk about these little episodes and stuff, but I am never going to do the 6-hour deep dive
of
like all the context.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can give you some context. Feel free to ask me questions. Oh. All the context.
My dear bitch, I will.
Yeah. Oh, gladly.
Yeah.
But like, so I can give them that. They're like one of the only wrestling podcasts I still actively listen to. Them and Public Enemies are pretty great.
They
do like modern day stuff. They do like weekly like rundowns of shit. So that they're probably the only like weekly rundown wrestling podcast I actively listen to is Public Enemies, PE3. Those guys are fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean there's so many of them. You see them pop up every now and then on like the Blue Sky feed and stuff like that. I mean, I would love to be able to listen to those kinds of things, but I have like 3 podcasts I listen to and they are all hours long.
Yeah, exactly. Like I've had to curate and I feel bad. Some of them look great. Some of them I can catch an episode too. Like, this is great.
Well, I often tend to try to at least listen to catch podcasts every now and again because I enjoy them, you know? Like, this is great. It's just, you know, I have 9 hours of buying the bastards from the past 2 days to listen to.
There's only so much hours in the day. Yeah.
Right. But wrestling is such an interesting like realm to me because it's to a degree, it's really hard to be casual with. Like you kind of have to have a degree of obsession because there's so much of it, you know?
Well, before I got back into it, the thing I could most easily equate it to is comic books. Because it's an ongoing story for decades that you, if you wanted to, could more or less be in real time because it's serial.
Yeah.
And this is something that just goes the next step. It's literally in real time. These people are playing characters even when they're not on their TV. The good ones are in kayfabe on social media.
Right. There's so much to keep up with. And I'm constantly like, you know, Mark is on the Reddits and things like that. I'll hear something and then immediately like text Mark and be like, okay, so is this like a work? Is this a shoot? Like, what's going on here? Like, what are they saying on Reddit? What's actually happening here? Because I'm not like, you know, sometimes I can tell and other times, like, if it's MJF, I know what's going on, right?
Yeah,
with other people, I'm like, I just don't know enough to know whether like what's happening here. My sister and I were like Googling Ricky Starks the other day, trying to figure out what's going on. Like, I don't know, man.
Who knows? I still get surprised. I still get surprised by shit. Even with everyone talking about, I did not expect CM Punk to come out at the end of fucking War Games. And that I groaned so loud. Groaned so hard when that happened. I was like, are you fucking, you are that salty, my dude?
Always. He is the world's saltiest man. That man is a pillar of salt. Yeah. The thing about CM Punk.
Can't go to a ranch, he gets licked. It's just constant.
Right? Yeah. Put him in my buddy cage. It's like straight up CM Punk when he came to AEW. I was like hyped with everyone else because everyone was like, oh, he's like amazing and all that stuff. And like in word, he has like all the right opinions on everything, you know? And then indeed, he's like the worst person on the planet. But also, like, having no context for CM Punk, like, my sister, I got into wrestling shortly after I got into it. So we watch it together every week and we text each other. And we both hated him from like the beginning. We're like, this guy is so boring. Like, how can you be straight edge and be like the slowest, most out of shape person he's like Eminem every time. He's just gotta like introduce himself and say like how important he is. And it was I hate this man.
There's a way to do that and have me love it. MJF. Right.
I mean, I was gonna say I love MJF. I'm a giant MJF stan, but like
me too. He is my scumbag.
Yeah, CM Punk doesn't know he's a bad guy, and that's why he sucks to watch. And
that's why it doesn't work. But he also, he's one of the former former guests and frequent pay-per-view Patreon fellows. And we have a chat on the Discord where we workshop bits. No, I'm kidding. oh shit!
no, it's, hold it, back the curtain.
It's a gorilla position, is what I call it. like the, you know, or if you're AEW Mark, dusty position.
Sure,
if you will, or if you won't. So yeah, like they mentioned that someone brought up CM Punk doing something good. He recently did something good. Like he did something about like wishing we would stop genociding people on like UFC right. Or some shit.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
Yeah. And it was just like, fuck yeah. Base CM Punk. And all the rest of us groaned because we knew.
It's just like, ugh.
I'm like, oh, he's honey.
He always says the right thing, and you're that's like, what
someone else says.
I guess, but
yeah, he's an asshole who's on the right side of history. Is
right? Thing. Yeah, exactly.
And that how I always put it is like he's an absolute asshole piece of shit, but he's our asshole piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, I've never in any interpersonal conflict that he's involved with. I at this point am never going to take his side.
No. Yeah, exactly. Just automatically, he's wrong.
I just know that he fucked up. Like, I just know that this was you, dude.
Whatever the two sides of the story are, I believe the other person.
Yeah, like as soon as I heard about the shit at All In, the first All In London, I was just like, oh, what did you do, my guy?
He's lying. Whatever, whatever happened, it's his lying. Fault.
It's his fault. Like, my God.
Yeah, if constantly there are like altercations when you're around and nobody else is having altercations, it's like, what's the common denominator here? Like, they're all wrestlers. They know how to get into arguments with each other and not fight. So if fights keep happening,
Yeah,
anyways,
maybe you just don't have the temperament, my dude.
Right. It's time to retire, do something else,
She's a great actor. I love the stuff.
Is he a great actor?
He's not okay. I really loved his reoccurring guest spot on Heels. Did you ever watch Heels?
I saw a couple episodes of it, but it's not really, I don't like dramas. It wasn't my vibe.
It is the mellowest of dramas. And like that about Killed It For Me, but I'm a huge wrestling nerd, so I was just like, just put that right in the vein.
I was like, again, I think if I had more of a connection, it might work a little better for me. But my tolerance for dramas is deeply low. I pretty much just watch horror if I'm not watching
just the time of the I mentioned that last week's episode that like I've watched so much horror in the last 3 or 4 weeks that like I can't put titles to plots anymore. It's the problem.
It's all
blending in. So when someone's like, "Is Oddity cool?" I'm like, "Let me look it up.
Let me see which one that was.
Which one that was? Yes, it was banger.
I mean, that's pretty memorable there with the weird.
Fuck me, that was so the
mannequin thing or whatever. This is. I mean, you'll notice on
we're getting into. Yeah, I was going to say, we're getting in the Joe
act. Yeah, sometimes, like, obviously I watch a lot of horror every week, and I have the same problem. It's anytime you hear me, like, just read the title of something off my list and then be like, I'm like, this wasn't memorable enough for me to have an opinion on it. Let's move on.
Basically. But, yeah, Heels was not the kind of show that I wanted to watch a lot of. But I appreciated what they were doing because the thing about it was, is a lot of the plot stuff, the characters themselves, the main family, protagonist family, is an amalgamation of two wrestling dynasties. Hmm. So like a lot of the stuff that was going down in that show
is actual
on a true story level, you know, where you're like, okay, sure. But it's like, this is all stuff that theoretically happened.
Yeah.
There's an episode where a character who is an amalgamation of Macho Man Randy Savage, Ric Flair, and Colonel Rob Parker rolled into one, which is terrifying to imagine. But there's an episode where he shits himself in the ring. As far as we can tell, that actually happened to Colonel Rob Parker during a War Games match.
Amazing.
So War Games is the original Blood and Guts. You're an AEW fan, so Blood and Guts. Yes, he was in a Blood and Guts match as a chicken shit manager. And he legit shit his fucking pants in the match.
Amazing. That was, did you watch the little, I don't know why they haven't done more of these. I think they've said that there's going to be more coming. But the thing with the Wrestle Aunts, and they had Eddie Kingston come on and they match ate food.
Yeah, yes. A match and a meal. I haven't caught them yet, but I love the whole concept. It's one of those things where it's on my list. And I didn't know how much I needed RJ City in my life.
Oh, RJ City is so wonderful. I keep trying to get Mark to watch AEW, and it's like the only AEW thing he doesn't partake in. I'm Mark, like, you are seriously missing.
I'm reaching out to you through time, space, and podcasting. Watch the Murder Grandpa episode of AEW and thank me.
What I do with it is
an all-timer.
Yeah, Mariah May, that is what like finally turned the like, because I could not stand Mariah May. I think partly because she reminded me of Harley Cameron, who I still can't stand. And like, I was like, I don't understand why everyone keeps saying Mariah May is so great. And then I watched that episode and I was like, no, I'm in love with her. I'm on board 100%. But what I always do is I don't watch them like every week as he puts them up. I travel a ton. Yeah. And so I download like all the ones that I've missed for long flights, like when I'm going overseas, things like that. And then I sit there and then I cry laugh like a weirdo on the airplane watching episodes of AEW, and it makes my flights go, because I hate flying. I do all the time, but I hate it. And it makes my flights go way faster to have
nothing RJ to like about it. Yeah. Except RJ.
Yes, but RJ makes my flights worthwhile. But yeah, I love RJ and Renee so much. And on that episode with Eddie Kingston, the only one they've put out so far, like I said, they said that they're coming soon. But he talks about having shit himself in a match at some point.
Apparently Ric Flair did it. I guess like,
I mean, I'm sure it happens all the time. I have to pee all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I always like, this is a thing I think about quite a bit, is like my timing is never great. It's like I will arrive somewhere and be like, oh my God, my bladder is about to explode. And I'm like, what do I do now? And I that has to happen to people while they're wrestling, like whichever way it's gonna come out, like it's gonna
like this is happening. Yeah.
You're being tossed around. Like, you know, you get hit the wrong way.
I think it might have been Bobby Heenan who actually on the commentary who called Colonel Rob Parker out and was like, did he just and that's what got it in there, and it became like a legend.
Yeah, right.
And the last fan, of course, they that was part of one of their deep dives when they covered that pay-per-view. They spent a fair amount of time working out whether or not he shit his pants, complete with spot on impersonations.
This is the kind of investigative journalism that we need in this world, let me tell you.
Bobby Heenan would be proud, yes. Speaking of Bobby Heenan, do you want to get into 1996 Nitro, Corey?
I want to do Raw first because I hate it.
Okay, that's how I watched it. All right. Excellent.
And this time, I think I did it the other way last time because I didn't know yet that I hated Raw. And then this time I did it the correct way.
You did the correct way.
I did Nitro for dessert. I will say, so because this got, let me just give a little background because our last one got.
Please do.
I had never seen either of these before until the one that we watched last time, which I believe was December 4th, 1995. Yes. So I came into this completely without any frame of reference aside from, as we talked about, like these people were so ubiquitous, like wrestling was so huge in the 90s that
you can't
like,
help but know who they are.
Yeah, obviously. I knew who these folks were, but like from movies or commercials, things like that, not from
Mr. Slim Jim.
Right. Yeah, exactly. and not from actually wrestling. And so watching these last time, I didn't know what to expect. And so Raw, I bring this up because I think there are some differences between that episode and the one that we just watched. That episode of Raw that we watched the first time was so chaotic, so frenetic, so just like I had no idea what was going on, which is sort of true of this one too, but like it was so cocaine addled that episode that we watched.
I remember that. I do specifically remember that being a stretch where they were really like, I think I figured it out. I think WCW might have started winning some ratings around there.
Mm.
And so they literally just
crank it up.
Put everything out there.
Yeah.
Give Sean a concussion and we will talk about it for 6 weeks. Garrick will lose her mind in 30 years. It'll be amazing.
Yeah, right. It's specifically to punish you.
He's fucking with me through time and space.
Yeah. And it's just, I have some of the same complaints about the one that we're about to watch, but it's just, I watched that one and I was like, oh no, what have I agreed to? Basically, it's like, what? This is, I am having such like buyer's remorse. Like, this was a terrible idea.
Sicko, in case you think I would ever lie to you, this is why I refer to them all as victims. Right, I didn't this time.
Very accurate.
Oddly enough, I forgot to. I actually called you a guest this time. No. This is a thing I did to you, Corey.
If I come back the second time, that's on me.
Yeah.
Like, fool me once, you know.
My conscience is clear. Excellent.
Yeah. But then I watched Nitro, I watched Nitro, and I was like, this is a breath of fresh air. I was like, this is what I've signed up for. Like, this
you
is
and the
like
viewers
watching
of
AEW.
1995. Yeah, both agreed. And it is. A lot of the stuff you saw on that Nitro, a lot of stuff we saw on this Nitro, is more modern wrestling.
Yeah, 100%.
They also gave us a lot of old school, though. We'll get to Nitro after
we'll get into it, but let's talk
after
Raw.
We choke down our overcooked steamed vegetables with maybe a little salt.
Yeah, it's like boiled Brussels sprouts that we're having with some...
no black pepper, zero black pepper.
Right.
Pinch of salt. We start with candidate Shawn Michaels hitting the fucking handshake line.
Wait, hold on, you're already ahead of me, because one thing I want to say,
yes,
is
please.
That
feel free to cut me up whenever you like. I talk too much.
No, just by way of comparison here,
yes.
The opening of Raw was like way toned down from the last one that we watched, because if you recall that one from December, so this is only what, a month later from that last one that
about,
we watched
about that. Yeah, we're what, January 8th, folks.
This is January 8th, 96.
Yeah, January 8th, 96. I probably could have said that up front, but we're good.
Yes, right. Oh, sorry. Yes, January.
Oh,
January,
no,
1996.
I'm maintaining the mid brand, Corey.
It's perfect. Yeah, which I last time I wore the crop top, but it's too cold to wear Emporium of Mid shirt. But the one that we watched in December, as in it was December, it wasn't December when we watched it. The opening was like some sort of weird, like civil unrest situation.
Yeah. It
like
looked
some sort of riot, and everyone was like running.
Parts of my neighborhood a few years ago, and
right,
like
there's
it
like,
was, like
helicopters
I hated
and
it.
Police.
Every time I'm just like, this is unfair to me. This is like I'm. Do you understand how
attacked.
Late I was up watching my friends on Twitter, like going through this shit on my back. Right. Or chain smoking. Fuck you, Vince. Again,
right,
I say,
and if you like, yeah, and it feels like, you know, when you're looking back on like the climate of the time too, you're really looking back at a time where like the riots and stuff were not far out of the, you know, the public imagination.
I think of Sublime, you know, it was April 26, 1992.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Where
so...
were you?
While you were at home watching your TV, I was participating in some anarchy. So the intro to this one, I was like very surprised when it came on, and it was just like, here are some wrestlers. Like, oh.
Yeah. They got rid of the chaotic intro. And here's another thing that, and this is what's wild, that this is happening still when I'm doing this, like a weekly watch along now. I can't tell you when that stopped.
Interesting. it's more remarkable to me having jumped like from one to this one.
And this is a thing that I'm loving about having return guests too, is because like I'm memory holing some of this.
Right. Yeah. Totally.
Which is how, but that's kind of how it would happen, you know, like, you don't necessarily remember.
Well, right. Yeah. That's, I'm always amazed when people can be like, oh, with this one, this thing happened or whatever. And I'm like, once it is over, I remember if I liked it or not, but I don't remember anything that happened.
There's certain big deal stuff, but I couldn't necessarily put the dates on. I could say, well, this is a big deal raw that happened.
Sure, you know? Yeah. I tend to, I mean, the way I kind of watch wrestling, because, like, I am a noob at it, and, you know, the way my, like, focus and ADHD are set up, like, I have trouble with, like, processing a lot of things. But so I tend to retain, like, storylines all right, like, kind of what's going on, the interpersonal thing, which is funny because like the times when people complain about like, you know, this episode opened with 30 minutes of like talking and promos and blah blah blah, and I'm like, yeah, that's, I liked that
stuff.
It's like, it's, I actually enjoy that.
Here's the thing, if it's done well, I can be way into that. Sometimes AEW doesn't hit the mark on that.
But it doesn't always land, sure. But
sometimes are they just on. Some of the promos I've seen in AEW is the best shit. I still think of, I forget who it was, the lady on Collision. And I forget who she was interviewing, but Chris Statlander was out there with her. And Chris was just like, hey, do you mind if I get my pump real quick? And she puts her up over her shoulders and just started pressing
Renee. Yeah. Oh, man, that was so good.
And I was just like, holy fuck. Like, that's Macho Man level chaos. That's Ultimate Warrior. Like, I am so on right now, you know?
Can I just say, too, like, this is what I want from Chris Statlander is, like, silly strong girl and, like, you know, people who are on WrestleSky know my, like, famously how much I hate that they keep trying to do sexy stat. And, like, this week felt like they were, like, it was like they were vexing me personally when she came out in that tiny little bat bra that, like, she was, like, barely holding up. She had to keep pulling. And I was like, just, like, let her be funny and let her be, like, super strong.
That
and
should, like, be funny Camille.
That's what I'm saying. Funny Camille. Exactly.
She, like, should be a monster. She should, like, have the presence of a monster, but the charisma 100%. Of being funny. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like if you put Willow Nightingale and Camille together, you got a stat here. And I don't think that's understand. Exactly,
it is her fucking military pressing the lady while she's interviewing.
Like, that is what I live for. And it's like the stat that they keep giving us is like they can't decide what to do with her character because they don't see the obvious thing in front of it, so they keep trying to pull, like, yeah, you get everyone on like social media for like 2 minutes going stat and drooling or whatever, but like then, like, what is the point of anything that she does? Yeah, you know, it was great when she had her and Stoke, like, were
that was awesome.
So good.
That was fantastic, because that was it. She was a monster, but she was funny, and
she's hilarious.
Stoke is the funniest dude in wrestling right now.
Right. Like, oh, and they were such a great combination, just big beast woman and tiny hilarious man, and, like, that is what
hiding
I want.
Behind the big beast woman. Yeah, like, and that's classic. That's classic. So that's Harvey Whippleman and what's-her-face. We covered her, Kennedy's first episode. Bertha. Bertha and Harvey Whippleman was the early 90s version of that. Is this huge lady and then the weird little dude. Right? You know, and it was like, fuck yeah.
So well, like,
it was so good. So that's great.
Yeah, I'm sorry to rabbit hole, but it's just something that I need to speak my mind about, because every goddamn week I'm just so annoyed by, like, just wasting Chris Statlander on just getting, like, men to drool for 2 minutes and then move on.
Or this is a platform for you. Don't you ever apologize for speaking your truth. Especially about the women's division in AEW.
I have so many thoughts. Yeah.
That being said, Jamie Hayter lately. God, I'm gay. but on that note, back to Raw.
Back to Raw, though. Yeah,
Shawn Michaels doing handshakes instead of our usual intro that I didn't notice when it happened, but good catch. They
hey,
got rid of that.
They're you.
doing roll-in intros, like little videos like this now.
And so
and at
this
some point that moved around.
Was this live?
Because... No, God, no.
Okay, I didn't think so, because it's like they preview the episode at the beginning too, like, oh, you're gonna see this and this and this, and I was like, what's happening here?
Yeah, Nitro is the only one that's live every week. Raw does live once a month. The Raw after a pay-per-view is always live at this point.
Okay.
And then once they finish that, they immediately tape like the next couple weeks. It's like a big long show. So like that's kind of how it goes. And this was very much not a live one. And we'll get into that. Yeah. But this was supposed to, they're teasing us with Sean's press conference about whether or not he's going to come back to wrestling after getting a traumatic brain injury that they just treated like a storyline.
So he really had a TBI.
I think he actually had a concussion.
Okay.
Because he got his shit rocked by some Marines when he talked shit while on muscle relaxers.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
See, and I think that that happened somewhere around that December 4th.
We touched on that. The Syracuse incident, as they call it.
Yes.
Where he was jumped by 6-12 thugs, Marines. And it was not his fault. He asked for it. You know, like, so they're still playing off of that. And the whole thing is that he came back and then he wrestled and then he collapsed in the ring.
Okay.
So they decide, like, we're going to make this big. And as we'll find out, it's to build up to the Royal Rumble. So, like, I got to give him this. It's heartless. It's gross. It did the job right.
Right. Yes,
they also
absolutely
spoil us with a highlight of Scheme Gene, and this is the fresh hell. You talked about not wanting to watch Raw, like hating the Raw aspect. Yeah. Literally last night I put on Blue Sky. This is the first time that I've like not wanted to do the homework for this show.
Right.
It's like, what the fuck is Vince gonna, what fresh hell? And the fresh hell was Scheme Gene live and in person. And well,
well, what is that?
We'll get there. It's a thing. It's Vince not being mad. This actually, though, they start talking about the card, and I'm like, this sounds like a banger, actually.
Yeah,
We get Double J.
Huh?
You get baby Jeff Jarrett.
This is
great.
I kept thinking, so when my brother was a kid, he was watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, you know, and you know Mr. Rogers was on for like 40 years or whatever, you know,
forever. Yeah.
And he watched one episode that was like an older one, and then PBS put on one immediately after where he was like, you know, 25 years old or whatever, gray hair, all that stuff, and my brother ran to my mother sobbing and was like, what's wrong with Mr. Rogers? He
Holy
thought that he was like, in the span of an episode
he
aged
sick. Yeah.
Yeah, right, like an episode of Arya Into the Dark or something.
He drank from the wrong cup.
And that was like seeing young Jeff Jarrett had kind of that like on me. It's like, what is going on? Like,
he hasn't even slapped a single nuts yet. Yeah, like it's wild.
Yeah, it was bonkers to see. Like, it's like I can see that's him, but he looks so different.
He's like 9 and 30. He's like 29.
That's so wild. It's like you don't realize how long ago the 90s are, because it's like I barely feel like an adult and I'm nearly 40.
Yeah, right.
And so yeah, looking back and like in the Nitro episode too, it's like, you know, Eddie Guerrero is this young guy, you know, they're like, for such a young wrestler and all that, and I'm like, what? Like, this is so crazy.
I mean, I get more of that later in this episode of Raw, even, where I was like, oh my god. But Double J, he looks like he's cosplaying for Halloween as a sexy ref, and I really appreciate it. Like, I was like, fuck yeah, you understood the assignment. He didn't even know we were going to be releasing this for Halloween.
I wrote on here, that outfit is gay.
Yeah, just a little gay. Just a little...
And I wrote in tiny letters, it looks like something they'd put Chris Statlander in today.
Yeah. All bad. Yes. Here we go. See, it was important that we got your views on Statlander.
But yeah, I'm glad that I already backed that up for my tiny little note that I wrote here mostly to myself.
Right. So, yeah, sexy Statlander ref Double J versus Hakushi.
And this whole episode, by the way, Raw much more than Nitro, is like, how could something have been so, like, homophobic and misogynistic when everything is so gay? Okay. Like, just this so is gay.
Reoccurring theme is why it's, in a lot of ways, why the show exists. Mm-hmm. is that,
yeah,
wrestling?
It's like, let's go back and look at that. Yeah.
Yeah, we should probably go back. Did this affect me in some way? Probably.
Yeah maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit. But Double J starts getting the heel heat like a natural at 29. Jesus.
29.
The people just want to hate the guy so bad it's easy. Mm. Someone in the crowd had a sign that said fat bottom, and I'm getting called out again through time and space. And I was like, hey. What's up?
Love it.
The match is pretty great, though.
This was fantastic. I enjoyed... Sorry, I have allergies, and the weather has been the weather has been crazy. It's been hot and windy, so I'm like, but anyway,
we got our liquids.
Sorry, what?
We got our liquids. We're good.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I haven't even coughed from the vape yet. I'm amazed.
But yeah, I thought this was like a super. What I will say for this episode is, it's like, the wrestling was really good. It was everything around it that I didn't like. So like, I don't want anyone else to talk. I don't want to see these weird ass characters they're doing or anything like that. But the wrestling I enjoyed.
Yeah,
this match was really fun.
Right after my notes say the match is great, it says Lawler does a racism. So like, that's kind of weird.
Right. This is, wait, is this the one that I
didn't even write it down. I just said he does a racism.
Confusing racism.
Okay, hit me. Let's see if I, the white person, can help figure this out.
Yeah, maybe you can help me with it.
Translate to Lawler. Yeah.
Because he said something about Hakushi. Is that his name?
Hakushi, yes.
Hakushi.
Is his American name, yeah.
So he said something about him, like, be like a betrayal or something like that. I don't remember the exact word, but he said because he opened a big and tall man shop in Tokyo.
In Tokyo.
Then wrote, is that racist? Because I don't know what that means.
This was, in fact, a lovely aspect of 90s racism that I definitely can say saw a lot of looking back with my new... Ever since my brain got put out and got dunked in the woke mind virus wash, I realized that Austin Powers was fucked up. Right?
Yeah.
But the idea is that Japanese people are short and effeminate. So to open a big and tall shop in Tokyo is him betraying his countrymen. Because Lawler is racist and not funny.
Nice. Okay, great. Yeah, because I'm sure if, like
listen, Vince didn't even give him a fake. Ha, ha, ha. He didn't even.
Right. Yeah, it was just like, oh, okay. Like,
what the fuck, Jerry?
So, like, my husband is Japanese-American. And I swear to God, like, you know, I'm Black. And he has experienced so much more just, like, overt racism in his life than I have. Like, obviously Black people are subject to microaggressions and all kinds of stuff everywhere, but in terms of like people saying shit to his face
just
and stuff
really
like that,
out
or like
of the fucking way and shit.
Yeah, and to this day, like when he's like working and stuff like that, people say things to him all the time, and he's just, it's like insane. So I'm sure had he been home and watching this with me, he would have been able to translate exactly what
that was racist.
Yeah. But whereas I was sitting there, I was like, what is that? I don't have the like racism frame of reference to know what the hell he was trying to say there.
And I was raised by television, so I have, even as the white person, I'm the white lady here going, no, that was like, very racist. I can give you examples from South Park and like everything, like and all the other stuff that I was raised on as parents, you know.
Yeah, like all the stuff I was not allowed to watch when I was
again. Your parents are just killing it here.
Well, no, see, let's not get it twisted here. I was telling you before the show that I couldn't watch like MTV. I couldn't watch wrestling. I couldn't watch this. But like, I was allowed to watch like horror movies and things.
Yeah. That's
like,
fine.
Let's not act like there wasn't the 80s and 90s permissiveness going on. It was just like certain things like
wanton
this.
Violence, yes. Sex, yeah. Oh gosh, no.
Absolutely not. No, that's no.
Filthy, no.
But okay, I was curious about that. So thank you for explaining to me what weird racism was happening in
racism
this.
Racism so bad that Vince didn't even play into it. And that's saying something, because Vince is very racist. he calls Sakushi the like modern day kamikaze. And it's like, because he goes off the top rope sometimes, it's like, fuck you, my guy. And but that's the name he wanted to get to stick.
It's like, if the wrestler comes up with it, like, you know, I loved Glow, like, and yeah. It's like they're taking back like the stereotypes about themselves or things like that, you know, it's like, okay,
and there
fine.
Are absolutely cases of that.
Yeah. But when someone else tries to put it on you, it's like,
no, Hakushi is a case of in Japanese wrestling, they'd send their young lions out.
Mm-hmm.
To other countries to go to other promotions and learn how to fight everywhere.
Sure. Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second in Nitro with Regal, because he did the same thing the other way around. But that you send them out and you learn how to be a journeyman worker, and you go to America and you learn how to work with people that don't speak the same language as you.
Right.
So that's what Hakushi is here doing. Hakushi has a different name, a different legacy that he's beginning to build in Japan. But Vince doesn't give a fuck about that, because he can't trademark that.
Right.
So you come here and I'm calling you Hakushi.
Yeah, I'm giving you my own name, yeah.
Because I can sell it and make money off of it and send you packing with nothing, which is what he did. But in the meantime, we get Hakushi, which is great. Like, he kicks some ass. He goes for the springboard headbutt, catches Jay's knees, and then JJ gets him in the figure four and he submits. A clean win for Double J, which is wild stuff, I feel like, at this point. I wasn't...
Okay.
Like, so far, I've just seen him do dastardly things.
Sure, yeah.
They go looking for Doc Hendricks, and like an angel from heaven, we instead get Jim Ross.
Which was another weird moment of, like, it took me a second to realize it was him. I was like, wait, he's, like, coherent.
Yeah, he's still capable of doing this
job. Mm-hmm.
He's sharp, yeah. He's very, and I love you, JR. But can you just make me some barbecue? Just stay at home, buddy. You did it. Good.
You don't got to do this forever.
That'll do.
Yes, exactly.
He mentioned Scheme Gene, and they cut to the Scheme Gene briefly, and I'm starting to feel like I've been slipped the bad drugs again. Because before I can even think of it, they're giving us Rumble contestants. It's that frenetic.
Yeah, it's just so quick from thing to thing. It feels like Max Headroom. It's very weird.
Some of these contestants for the Rumble sound great, though, and others are Doug Gilbert. And then Scheme Gene does a one-line Okerlund impression, and that's all of that, basically, for now. I wrote in my notes, that's all of that, LOL. Little did I know.
Yeah, no, you weren't.
You'll be back. Yeah.
You were incorrect.
Fuck, yeah. So we come back to them feeding a jobber to Ahmed Johnson, which is great. I always love when they do that. He's hungry.
That guy, holy moly, he looks like... Like, he's so shiny, and it just looks like an actual action figure.
Literally, though, before I can even look up who this gloriously bepantsed gentleman is, he gets caught.
Yeah, those pants.
He gets caught in, like, a rear choke, almost like when Hook does, like, the sleeper suplex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just dumps him on his fucking dome, and I'm just like, God, this is a move I would hate watching when people who are good at this kind of thing do it, like Hook.
Right. Yeah.
Ahmed apparently has been known to be not good and was like always hurting people. So watching this
cool.
is terrifying.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So he probably didn't even mean
that macho mania.
Oh yeah, he is not the table. With a little Googling though, I find out that this sparkly young man, Jeff Gretler, the victim of this slaughter, later worked as Rico Suave.
No. What?
Yeah. He later worked as Rico Suave, was the name he was most known by. I'm unfamiliar with his work.
Rico Suave.
Yeah. So, you know, the pants.
Can you just do that? Like, you just go like, I'm gonna be the name of this famous person now.
I mean, it was still kind of in the Wild West in the 90s.
Yeah, like, sure, why not?
Real wild. I mean, Hulk Hogan, I mean, Vince did end up having to pay out the ass to use Hulk.
Okay.
We will never know how much, but there was a settled, undisclosed agreement between him and Marvel in the 80s.
That's wild.
Because it's like, oh, well, I'm going to go national with this guy. Please don't sue.
And they're like, Hulk is just like it's just a word.
But they were calling, Corey, they were calling him the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not going to work.
Marvel is like, you know, if you give us, like, more money than God and drop the Incredible, that's how he became the immortal Hulk Hogan. is literally that, because Marvel is like, we are litigious.
And it's so funny, because ultimately, like, that didn't last. Like, everyone knows him as just Hulk Hogan. They should have just gone with Hulk Hogan and avoided the whole
and they would have been fine the whole time, because you could have gotten
there'd
away
be
with
nothing Hulk. To stand on there. Yeah
but instead he had to pay money for it, and whatever, I guess. I mean it paid back in dividends for a while.
Well, yeah, there, for sure,
until Bubba the Love Sponge came calling. But this was a squash and a half. Suave is summarily executed. and Ahmed turns his fury towards the guitar that Double J left behind.
Yes.
And smashes it on the ring pole. And this is Vince's version of storytelling.
That's what we get, basically. Nailed it. I feel like I was there.
Fight. Yeah, these guys are going to fight at my next pay-per-view. You can tell.
They're going to fight. Smash.
Ahmed,
I don't like him.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm shitting myself a bit, because I know who the $1 million champion is as they talk about this. I know who it's going to be. And
I was going to say, who is it going to be? But you maybe don't want to spoil it for your audience.
Well, we'll get there. It hurts me to know that this man is being debuted on Brother Fucking Love's show. Brother Hate.
This is, at least there was less Brother Love than the last episode that I watched you, because that was... That was where I was, like, about to smash my TV last time. Really, I was like, I do not want to see any more of this.
I'm really sorry I did that to you. I think Bruce Brother Love Pritchard is on his way to working just in the back soon here. Hopefully.
So goddamn obnoxious.
He's so bad, and he steals all of my blush. The Ringmaster is Ted DiBiase's new champion, and it's a baby Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Is that who it is?
Yes, with peach fuzz on his hair and no bare face.
I literally wrote, like, this guy just looks like Steve Austin.
He is literally Steve Austin.
Well, there we go. I didn't even catch that. Like, I literally just thought that was, I was like, boy, they really had a template, didn't they? I didn't realize it was actually him. Nice.
So, yes, when I told you in our chat that you accidentally got a historic one, this is the first part of that.
Oh,
yeah, that guy who's calling everyone man in his little promo and says that he's destined for greatness, he was right.
Well, sure was. Yeah. You wouldn't really know it from, like, I genuinely this whole time was like, this guy couldn't have lasted.
No, this, like, promo is not good.
This is so bad.
I despise this. He's calling everyone man. It feels awkward and weird and bad.
It was terrible. It was genuinely so awful. That's incredible. I love that. I love that that's actually, you know, he was right, but boy.
Yeah, I need this poor bastard to assault Brother Love and chug a beer right now.
Yeah, but good on him for the glow up, I guess.
Yeah, well, we are entering 1996, which is the year of Steve Austin's glow up. To think that little peach fuzz dude is going to end up being the biggest draw in the history of the business.
Yeah, at this point, he just looks like any Marine hanging out at Camp Pendleton.
And he's just such a baby-faced little Texan boy. It's bananas. But yeah, I feel like we're several episodes in a row now of, like, historic moments, and this pleases me, because I think we're cooking. Like, the war is on.
Yeah, you're seeing things heat up now. Yeah.
You're seeing things go, and we come back to Goldust stripping out of his robe.
Goldust.
With his bald on full display. And I'll be right back. I gotta take a shower and think about my life and my choices.
I think I'd looked down for like 1 second and looked up, and it was just, I thought there was naked white man ass on my screen, and I was like, how did they do this? And then I was like, oh no, there is, it's a suit.
With the gold lighting.
Is that Dustin Rhodes?
that's Dustin. That's the natural baby. That's Dustin Rhodes.
He took the like wig off or whatever, and I was like, hold up.
Wait, I know this dude. That's a Rhodes's.
Yeah, again, gay.
Yes, so gay, very. Wait, no, we are using the terms androgynous and bizarre.
Yeah, Vince sure.
Calls him that right away, and he and they begin to imply that he isn't actually a flaming homosexual.
Yeah, no, but like, it's all get an it act. Twisted.
Don't just... get it, he just likes movies and stuff. I'm guessing they're already starting, because like before this, they were like, no, this man sucks dick. And like, you know, like in every which
clearly.
Way, clearly he's seen him. He's seen one up close. Okay. That's what I know from watching this guy. But I feel like they're pulling back on that because they probably have gotten beat already in the meantime.
Yeah, right.
Fucking awesome. Dustin and Aldo have a funny, fun match. Dustin's getting booze and it sounds like slurs. Not a lot of good heat, more hate crime heat. The problem is that I do think Aldo Montoya doesn't have enough face heat here on his own. So like this match is just chugging along off the homophobia.
Right. Which and is like, you know, fascinating to me. I mean,
it doesn't make for the great exciting match, you know.
It's not a great movie, but did you see what the fuck was it called? It's the name of a Mexican wrestler, and Cassandro, that's the one. Not a good movie, but
not a great movie, but a great story.
Yeah, the story was really interesting because I didn't really have like a ton of history for like that concept of like basically like queer characters were just put out there because everyone hates queer people. So it's like an easy way to get that good heel heat. It's like understood. Everyone just is going to hurl slurs at them. And, you know,
one little thing. I can't remember if I've done this rant on the pod before, but. One of the things, this was going to be an entirely different podcast back in the day where I just tackled like just subjects and there was no linear journey.
Sure.
And I did a whole thing on Goldust and Cassandro and the Los Exoticos and how they played in.
Yeah.
Because all of that movie, the Cassandro movie, he still works, by the way. He showed up at one of Effie's big gay brunches.
Nice.
And Effie's friend Peter that he podcasts with just got hammered with Cassandra at the bar all day.
Amazing.
Had no idea who he was. Just thought he was an old queen.
Wild. Peter's, love
you know,
that guy.
Yeah. So like they're just hanging out, having a time, couple of queens, you know, and like goes off and like Effie's like, you have fucking any idea who that is? like that's a legend, you know.
That's incredible.
But all that went down like a couple years before this.
Okay, that's right. That's one of the problems with that movie is it's impossible to tell what year anything is happening,
really,
especially
because
Gael Garcia Bernal looks exactly the same throughout the entire
It's really
movie.
Weird. Yeah, it's that Evan Hansen problem where it's like, it you know, like, dude, 100%. You're not a 12-year-old. Like,
it's like, yeah, you started at 40, and so I don't know where you are the rest of the movie.
Some of this feels problematic.
Not that long ago though, or like, I mean, now it's kind of
now
long
it
ago,
is. But at the time so my theory, because I have a conspiracy theory, feels very Joe Ag of me, is that Cassandra worked that whole area but also went over to Puerto Rico and was overseas a little bit. Well, he was working in Puerto Rico, and Savio Vega is from the Puerto Rican territory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dustin has said in shoot interviews that what ended up really getting Goldust over, and we don't see as much of it here as we do even in a couple weeks on the pay-per-view, because spoilers, I watched Royal Rumble already with Hamther, but he does it more there. He starts to really play into it, like feel himself up and do the kind of Cassandra-y stuff. Savio told him to do it.
I
guess they would be working together on house shows and like Madison Square Garden shows. And Savio is like, I'm telling you, like, we're in this crowd, we're surrounded by other Puerto Rican people. Like, I know how to get heat from my people. Mm-hmm. Like, this gimmick is an exotico. Like, Dustin didn't use those words.
Sure.
But Savio's going, I know what your character is supposed to be doing right now. My culture had this already. They're going to know You know, furthermore, the people we're playing to are
they
going
know
to
how to react.
They know how to react to this thing that you don't know you're supposed to be doing. So I want you to rub up on me, try to kiss me and shit, do all that in the ring, and then you're gonna. And he's like, I don't know, man, that's weird. You know, Dustin, I don't know, man, brother, I don't know. And they're doing this like in a lockup in the middle of the ring, and he's just pushing him. And finally, he does it, and and like the crowd goes nuts, and he's like, oh shit, and that's what got him over as a heel, is figuring out to lean into that. So I think that Savio just fed him the Cassandro.
Totally.
That's my theory, is that Goldust became what he was because Savio was like, look, I just watched this guy do this.
Yeah, exactly.
And he killed it when he did this shit. So do this shit. So I think I personally think that Cassandro gave us Goldust.
That's so interesting that even that. Again, as someone who doesn't like have any context really beyond these kinds of things, that even I could spot that I was like, oh, yeah, it's like a Cassandro situation.
No, that's
here.
Why
like,
I lost it when you're like, I'm like, oh my fuck, Cassandro.
Oh, wait, hold on.
I have a thing for this.
Yeah, I just kind of like set you up there, you know.
Yeah, no, I was like, I've done this rabbit hole before. I have this. So he's doing this shit, and it's okay, but he's not quite there. And Montoya doesn't have the face heat that Savio had. Mm. Savio at this point, people fucking, he's over. And like Laps fan guys, we keep talking about him. They don't like Savio. They're wrong. It's okay for them to be wrong.
It happens.
It happens. This is why it's okay. You have to be the no loads refused Nitro fuck party you want to see in the world. That's why I made my own podcast. Exactly. So where I can go, Savio, fuck yeah. But they end it pretty quickly. Dustin hits what will end up being called the curtain call, that like reverse vertical that he slams him back down on, which is awesome. And he does like a little curtsy bow while his music hits, and people move like crazy. And I'm just in love.
Totally.
God, from that moment on, like that, there's no reason. I wonder if any of this affected my fragile little brain. No. Speaking of fragile brains, they cut to Sean's press conference. I didn't write that. I did not write that in. That just happened.
Excellent work. Excellent work.
Imagine me being able to do a transition. Press conference. Thank you.
On a roll. My gosh.
That one's left over from a few episodes ago, but I can play the hits. But they go to the press conference where he does a little swerve. He does the I am Iron Man moment, where he says the doctors and family don't want me to retire, so it pains me to say that I'm going to the Rumble, baby. Woo, I'm going to win it. So there we go. Woo. Everyone knew it was going to happen. Then you go to Scheme Gene again, and honestly, it's so cringe and bad, but they totally got him here. Jim asks Gene who the scoop is or whatever, and he says, oh, it's too big, I can't tell you on the air, you gotta call the hotline and pay me. And Jim's like, oh, come on, just this once. He's like, fine, it's Vader.
It's Vader time. Oh, yes, that's right. What is the deal with the Hitler stash? That is like... I don't. There's a lot going on. The stash in particular.
I feel like the stash is getting smaller towards the middle every week.
Yeah, it's like I don't. I disapprove deeply.
That makes me feel ways. Yeah, JR is so much better than this, but god damn it. basically they're trying to take shots at WCW, and he's turning it into like a whole side, because Medusa, their women's champion, went over to WCW, and now ever since then Vince is mad. Sure. and someone on Blue Sky said, oh, you're entering salty bitch Vince era, and I'm like, I'm zipping up the hazmat suit and going.
And the fact that both shows are aware of each other is not veiled at all in both of these things.
It's starting to get real messy, and I'm here for it.
They are talking at and about and to each other throughout both of these episodes.
But yeah, now for the second week in a row, I want to get mad again. They're just showing a match from the last In Your House pay-per-view. It's literally a replay. This is infuriating to me. Now, I would like to explain, though, the process that my brain and body went through here.
Okay.
Because I was like, god damn it, again? Wait, it's Brett versus Davey Boy. That's good. So, like, at least it's a good match. And then I remembered what happened in this match. And suddenly, my attention is piqued. Because you see, Corey, Bret Hart sacrificed for the sake of theater and bladed during this match. And oh, he boy. Played yeah. it real hard. Hard. And yeah. there is, like, he gigged. There is blood. And I'm sitting here wondering, are they going to show that on TV here?
Right.
Because, like, that's going to make it another historic Raw, because I don't even know the last time they showed blood on a W, if at all.
It even had, like, did you notice the viewer discretion advised at the beginning of that, like, match?
They come back from a commercial break, and it's this, and it does that. They tell us, like, no, this is graphic content.
Yeah,
and it's graphic in nature, viewer discretion advised, and I just like jazz. I just started.
It's all happening.
It's all happening. Oh my god, the era is changing. It's 1996, fuckers. And like, this was a hell of a play job.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I love paying attention. I watched him do it. It was
trying to. Yeah, I was like sitting there, like,
okay, like, oh, I know it's coming. Now that I know there's gonna be juice. Right after Bulldog tossed him face first into the stairs.
Yep.
If you watch, you see him stick his hand under his hair and blade while he's laying there. And then the camera is like panning away, but they catch him pull it out.
Yeah, a little bit
and
of
like,
the, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I got him. Botchamania, got him. But yeah, he picks him up and slams him to the ring post. And when he comes down, it starts pooling
everywhere.
And that pay-per-view was in Philly, so I don't know if you noticed the ECW fans losing their shit and chanting he's hardcore.
Nice. See, this is the one thing that's tough about like watching without any like frame of reference or anything, is I'm trying to pay attention to so many things that it came to a point where I was like, oh, I haven't been listening for like chants or anything, because I'm like, I'm trying to pay attention to what's going on. I'm trying to listen to the commentary, all that kind of stuff. And so I miss things like that.
I know, but that's the fun to me of having folks do it this way.
Right.
It is, because I want to see what you do and don't see, because that's like the experience, because like that's the experience of watching wrestling with people.
Yeah. You don't pick up everything.
So I'm so I'm happy you're back, Corey. You're a fun guest.
Thank you.
We haven't even gotten to Nitro and I'm saying it. Jeez.
Also, by the way, I just looked down at my notes just to see like where we were or whatever. I forgot, I'm sorry, but it was back on Gold Dust or whatever, and I had written in my notes, I feel like I'm seeing too much of him, and then at the end he rested his penis on the ropes.
He did. I didn't see that. He does, though. You have seen him do it in the past. Just and like a bird on a perch, you know?
Just hanging out on a wire. So that was just, I just was trying to figure out like where in my notes we were, and that stood out to me, and I felt like I needed for other people to know that happened. If you were looking for an episode in which something like that occurs, there you go.
I'm writing it down, they're going to make that the title, something to do with Dustin perching a bird. It's like pitching a tent, perching a bird.
Oh, I like it.
Oh, okay, well, this is going to get fun and graphic. But yeah, speaking of graphic, transition again. Bret Hart is hardcore. They're not wrong. And it was wild to witness it on pay-per-view, but the fact they're replaying it makes me feel like it's him like dipping his toe in the water like this. Cool.
Yeah, can we do this? Vince
standing by a big dial labeled graphic violence, turning it up a notch and looking around the sense. The
FCC is just squinting at them like, I don't know.
You like that? All right. All right, go get the chairs.
So we'll see how this match goes.
Yes.
Diana is Bret Hart's sister, but the other guy's wife.
Yes. Yes. Okay. The IRL. That is all very, very true.
This is one of those matches where there's like so much going on that they do not give you context for, because obviously if you've been watching, this is the royal family or whatever, you know, like this is, you should know already.
You should know apart. Yeah.
I love that this whole match, it's just like every like 45 seconds, they just cut to her making the same worried face.
Yeah.
And they referenced her be like her brother multiple times to this, but then they also referenced her husband, and then I was like, is she married to her brother?
Give us storyline. give Vince four more years, and then like he'll start pushing that.
It was like, and so when it ended, and I thought that it had gone her way, and it didn't, and I was like, what's happening. So yeah. Why is she still upset? I have not understood apparently what she's been there for this whole time.
I don't think Vince knows why he has her there. He's probably got her there to piss off Brett. Because like Brett's like, no, just leave her back in Canada. I don't want her here, you know. Ernol Abboot and various other Canadian things. And obviously. I don't know. She's trying to get like sympathy, I guess. I suddenly remember this is the pay-per-view I got in trouble on Patreon for saying that Diane Hart could get it. So I put this in my notes because upon a second viewing, I think I just really want her outfit.
Well, I literally was going through this while watching it myself. I was like, is she hot or is she wearing a cute outfit?
Yeah,
it is
exactly.
Very difficult to tell.
Oh, the joys of being a bisexual woman. Like, it's like, do I want to make out with you or do I want to, like, literally
am I trying to be
dress?
You? What's happening here?
Oh, yeah, the transness aspect. And, like, that's been confusing my whole life.
it's like, right, perpetually.
Should we have dated or did I just really want that skirt? It turns out I really wanted that skirt. I later in life bought that skirt. One of my favorites. In the dryer now. Yeah.
There you go. It's living the dream.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. I consider that winning. But yeah, no, other than that, like, and it's a good match all in all and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like it's whatever. It's a replay. Outside of the blood, it's nothing special, but it's literally their main event.
Yep.
Brett finishes them with a classic little pinning combo, very Orange Cassidy style. You know, mm-hmm. He puts on a banger and just ends it with a quick little guy.
No frills.
Yeah, and it makes sense that Undertaker recently endorsed and interviewed Donald Trump. Because, as I said, in 1996, he's being managed by Mike Lindell. All coming together.
Also, in my notes, I had Undertaker. Not a good dude.
Not a good dude, I'm pretty sure no.
From what I can see from Blue Sky lately.
Really not a good
dude. Not a good dude.
I touched on this briefly in the past, but Undertaker is one of those guys where, like, he really did good by having a gimmick where he didn't talk much. And he was one of the last guys to keep kayfabe, like, pretty much his whole career, and that was so good for him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, can you keep kayfabe now? You're retired. Can you just
stick with it?
Go back to Death Valley and just work on some coffins? I don't, like, just stop talking, dude. It's not good. Real bad. I want to be mad at Raw for making this their main event, but it was pretty good. And they
it's a good match.
And then Vince's totally not mad comedy sketch, Billionaire Ted's War Room.
What? Like, I think, what did I say about this? I just simply was like, the fuck is this boardroom sketch? I did not understand what was happening at all. I could tell, like, I think here's the thing. Now that you're saying it, I still don't totally know the lines between the two promotions. And so I thought he was mocking his own wrestlers.
No.
And then not realizing they were from another company. And I was like, why is he doing, I don't understand.
Well, they were his
commercial
wrestler.
Something like
kind of. This is him making a commercial for WCW. Why it sucks,
it's an anti-commercial. I thought it was like, I literally thought that at the end they were going to be like hawking like bubble gum or something. You know, like I was like, I don't get what the joke is.
And
here,
I love this because I want to imagine that the casual wrestling fan in 1996 who wasn't aware that these two are trying to kill each other. Probably also went, the fuck was that?
What is this?
What the fuck was that? Was that Ted Turner? What the fuck was that? What,
like,
is this guy doing?
It's baseball, you know? Like, and I think that's the thing is, like I said, wrestling does breed a certain degree of obsession and hyperfixation. But at the same time, in anything, there are always going to be casuals. And it's like, you expect people to know the business. Right? Like, to Vince, it's like, of course everyone knows the business here. And there's probably plenty of people who turned on the TV and watched the thing, and they turn it off, and they don't think about the thing until they watch the next episode of the thing.
Especially in 1996, Corey.
Right, where you don't have Reddit or anything.
Yeah, because, like,
you don't have the dirt sheets.
Yeah, you and I as an AEW fans, we recognize this, because this is the world we live in now.
Right.
This is why it's like this, Corey. this shit. This is why the IWC is what it is. Is because of the adventure that my podcast is going on right now.
Yeah.
This is the war. And this is why it's like this now, is because this is just the beginning. They're going to
so bizarre.
Double and triple down on it. And sure enough, I have to make note of it before we move on to Nitro. I thought, because this is the second time we've done this now, and I thought it was going to be another corny little sad poking at the competitor, which the first one kind of was. It was like making fun of the guys for being old, basically. But then at the end of this one, they start talking about where the big boys play and alluding to steroids in the locker room that WWF makes their talent test, and unlike WCW, and like straight up accusing them of like Vince might have done a little bit of slander, a little bit of libel, you know,
light libel.
I might have done a little crime. And I just thought, like, Vince doesn't want to get into that kind of fight. Like he just got done with the steroids trial, and he's like, no, hold my roids. I'm going to go for the jugular. Like,
right.
And then they end the episode to top it off with another, like, PSA of telling us that if we want to see their steroid policy, we can get on America Online. Online, two words, on space, on line.
Line,
because it wasn't one word yet. And what the fuck, 96 Raw? Jesus Christ. So yeah. there's our boiled Brussels sprouts. We did
it. Yeah, it was like watching the last match. You're almost like, hey, you know what? Like, I forgive. This is pretty good. And then they just hit you with one more reminder. Like, no, this product sucks.
It's real fun, too, because Nitro is about to put on a show. Well, is putting on a show at the time that they're doing all this that just disproves every single jab that they take. And it's really kind. It was like this. It really was like watching Tyson fight a baby kind of thing. It was just like, this isn't even fair. It was great. They're live from Charleston, South Carolina, so they're around Flair country, so you know the crowd's going to be good. Okay. And Bischoff right away name drops the Civil War. Since they have a war of their own, and I'm like, oh shit,
all right, coming in,
I'm sitting here thinking, what are you about to do? And he says it's the main event, and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, oh, you got me real excited there for a second, Eric.
Yeah, this for one, intro is the same as it was last time, better than the Raw one on both both occasions.
Or it'll never change. Nitro never changed their intro.
I mean, why not? It does, if it ain't broke, right?
Yeah, it's working.
And out the gate, you know, you get your three commentators here who are just worlds above what you got on Raw. And
it's a different league. Yeah.
Whole different league. And I think this is one of the like really important things to me, right? Is that, like I said, like I'm follow the storytelling better than anything else. And during Raw, I'm just confused all the time. Like, I don't understand what's going on. I don't feel like the commentary is really adding anything to my understanding of what's happening. You know, they're making weird, shitty jokes about big and tall stores in Tokyo or whatever.
They're trying to get themselves over instead of trying to get the match over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so from the outset, when you get these guys, like, they have so much personality. The dog, the goddamn dog. I love the dog.
It's got to the point where my notes just have obligatory peppy talk at the beginning.
Right, he's wearing a little jacket that makes him look like a Top Gun pilot.
He's a little bomber jacket. He's a
little bomber jacket.
He's with a little flopper, guys, in a little leather, and I will follow him into battle.
He's just so cute.
And his dad is in a problematic leather number, but, you know, like, it's okay. Bischoff is in a Planet Hollywood jacket, and I feel like he's literally like notice me, senpai. You know, like, please come on the show, bring your money. Yes, the money. And I mean, I guess we'll round it out. Bobby looks fine. Bobby looks comfortable. It's winter. Bobby's in a nice sweater.
Right. Yeah. You know, you're straight man, if you will. Yeah. And the storytelling is just so much better on this, you know, like, I just feel like they are taking me through what is happening and not just letting, like,
not letting it go and making little jokes for themselves.
Right. And like the little, I mean, there were some very funny jokes in here. One of them I wrote down in here that just like I died at, but
Bobby had some good ones.
Like, I think the thing with the Raw one is that they would basically have whoever was about to wrestle talk right before, and then there would be no further explanation beyond that. And so, like, and often that they're alluding to something that happened before that I have no frame of reference for. So I'm like, okay, these even people are, when they have a thing, I don't know.
What Nitro does, though, is I call it exposition with Mean Gene, is where they come out and they do a little promo, but really what they're doing is telling you it previously on, you know, and yeah, but yeah, they do that better than Raw does. Raw just says, you should have been here last week. Fuck you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We're going to let these guys, you know, quickly exchange a few barbs and then come out, or not at all, or just literally send them out there.
My dad was the best. Fuck you. Give me money. And so, like, I mean, as I said, though, like, immediately they're killing this idea that Vince is putting forth that the wrestling here sucks. Because off the bat, we get Chris Benoit with coming out with Brian Pillman to start the grabs. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm sad that these two are dead. And less sad about, less sad about one of them than the other. But we get two of the four horsemen. And the opponent is the return of Das Wunderkind, Alex Wright. I think he's second or third generation German wrestler.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like 18 or 19 at this point. Like, he literally is Das Wunderkind.
Yeah, this, I mean, I will say I didn't totally get what his story was here. I think, you know, there was so much focus more on Chris Benoit in this whole thing and what was going
because
on there.
They actually have some story going right now.
Alex, there was clearly a lot going on with that storyline.
And that's why we haven't seen him in a while. So this is the first time he's coming back in a while, and he gets a big old pop. Everyone's super happy to see him, and Benoit just starts going after him right off the bat, and like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, come this, like, they really come in hot in this episode with this match. I will say, I did watch the Dark Side of the Ring about Brian Pillman, but I didn't really remember what he looked like, and watching him in this, I was like, he looks like Cody Brown from Sister Wives.
I don't know what that is. And all right, so, hold on, keep talking.
You don't know what Sister Wives
is? I'm vaguely familiar, but I'm Cody Brown, as it sounds.
With a K, K-O-D-Y, Cody Brown. You're going to look at it, you're going to be like, that's Brian Pillman. It's like, without abs.
No, that's if Brian Pillman had grown old. What the fuck?
Yes, right? Am I wrong?
You are
that's
not
the same guy.
Okay, I'm starting to think he faked his death.
Right? Holy, like, did he fake his death and marry a whole bunch of Mormon women?
That sounds like he's a loose cannon, Corey. Like, that sounds like a thing Brian Pillman might have done.
Isn't that bizarre?
Do yourself a little Google machine or a Bing or whatever you're using that's actually usable. Holy fuck.
Yeah. Look at the Cody Brown and compare with a K.
Fuck. Well, you blew my
mind. I could not stop seeing that this whole time. It was just Cody, the Mormon polygamist, in the ring.
You know where his story ends. That's wild.
I do, yes. I also watched that Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah. Woof. In the meantime, Benoit doing the prettiest suplexes this side of the Pacific. Like, goddamn. Pillman does all kinds of heel shit and jokes. He chokes the Wunderkind out outside a widow. That's good. Eric says that Benoit has a chin like a 63 Chevy. I want to update the analogy for my millennium siblings. Benoit has a chin like a Nokia brick phone.
Oh, spot on. 100% true.
I'm happy I can be here for my people. You know, the olds.
Absolutely
the olds,
nailed it.
But the not quite that olds. They play fast and loose with the no over the top rule because it's a stupid rule. And they, every time it happens, the commentators have to be like, I know that's bad, but sure. Yeah, right.
Love that.
Alex hits him with a big old splash, and then Eric says, one thing you can't imitate, if you catch my drift, is our success. And I'm like, well, that's a jab at the not so subtle pissy fit of Vince's billionaire Ted.
Yeah. Just again, one of the many points during this at which they're like, I mean, and this is, you see this with like AEW now as well, like that there's like constant sort of reminders of like, even if it's not necessarily a direct shot,
I feel like there used to be at more WWE shots.
Yeah, and now it just feels more like they're always reminding you, you know, this is where the best wrestle, or like things like that, like stuff that like, you don't really have to advertise the product. I'm watching it right now, but
they're
like,
trying. Like,
there's always a little bit of comparison
there's a
Turner
happening feel there. I often say it's mm-hmm. it's. I feel like it's no mistake that they are on Turner Broadcasting.
Right, yeah.
Like it is like they are working at. And I'm sorry, but where the best wrestle is just where the big boys play. For 2024,
right, there you go.
And like,
yeah,
and that is not a dig. That is not derogatory.
Right.
Lean into that, Tony. I am the sicko you sure. are booking for.
Well, that's the thing. I think most people watching enjoy the like level of pettiness
yeah.
and the
to
way
a certain
in which
extent.
That like rivalry plays. Right.
I,
yeah.
I
exactly. I mean, it can go too far.
As I
but...
say, I don't want him doing any Mean Scheme Jeans or Hulk yeah,
right,
Hucksters.
Exactly.
None of that shit. Like, don't get that far in your own shit. But the kind of stuff that
right.
they are doing is exactly what's needed. And just reminding
yeah.
people that there's an alternative. It's not Monopoly anymore. We're not
right,
gonna
yeah.
just put us back in the fucking box or buy us out like you did everyone else. It's been 20 years.
Right.
People get to make a choice again. And like that
yeah.
gets my heart pumping. That's another reason
totally.
Why this show made the pivot towards this concept is because I wanted to go
yeah.
back and watch these after he, I think it was after the first All-In in London where he came out and he was like, look, motherfuckers, there's an alternative. Like, if you don't like the fact that I call myself a competitor, then you don't have to use that. But for the first time in 20 years, it's not just you. And whether you like it or not, wrestling's better because of that, basically. And,
right,
I, and
yeah,
I was like,
totally.
Fuck, you know, it really was, wasn't it? Like, I never watched all of them at the same time because I couldn't. Let's go do that. So now we're
right.
here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking A, as this banger continues, they give some more shit on them, talking about how they're raising their pay-per-view prices and shit like that, how they're giving you a main event that's pay-per-view worthy for free. And I'm like, you know, he's not wrong. He's actually
right.
kind of giving the game away on the air. Like, that's their game plan at this point.
Right.
And it's been working. And, like, this is all, again, I love it. I love when this shit is messy. I'm not, like, messy for a lot of stuff. I love my friends. I hate their personal squabbles. A bunch of billionaires fighting. Fuck
yeah.
Let's go.
Absolutely.
I hope everyone loses and we win. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So as this continues, we get a bunch of suplex reversals. I feel a finisher coming. Sure enough, Benoit gets that dragon suplex for the three, and it just drops him on his fucking head again.
Yep, sure does.
It's just very Kenny Omega of you Das Wunderkind. That was awesome. I was very happy with that.
Great one.
Immediately find out that we get Regal and Guerrero next, and I'm just elated.
It was like they said, what is it, Steven Regal? Is that what they called him?
He is Lord Steven Regal in WCW.
Yes, and I was like, as soon as they said his name in the beginning, I was like, that William Regal?
Yep.
And sure enough, it was who I love and Ooh. Have missed deeply since he left AEW, and so I was so pleased.
Life. Mainly because of Regal, Corey. So, like, I feel you. I miss him too. I miss him on my TV.
So great.
I miss him hitting on Excalibur.
Yeah.
Like, just being so.
Man in the mask.
Yeah, man in the mask. Cheeky. You know, he's so good.
I love
at
it
this.
So much. And he was so good. Yeah, I miss him. So, I was, yeah, absolutely delighted to see him come out, you know, in the full royal regalia and everything.
And doing the
come out
and
there,
like, but... looking down at all the fans in disgust.
Yeah,
like,
just mugging. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm so
mugging.
Above this, you know. Oh,
so good. Just master of his craft.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's got these fans 200 plus years on and they want to string up the red coat. Like, you know, like, and they,
exactly.
And he's like, you know, all right, sure. I can make a grudge from centuries ago work. I'm William
right.
fucking Regal. Like,
mm-hmm.
Another huge pop for Eddie. There's no way this
mm-hmm.
match doesn't rule.
Yeah.
Commentary does a great job in this. I alluded to this earlier. They give us a rundown of Regal's career. And most of what they say is not bullshit. Like he was that journeyman. Traveled that world,
India and South Asia, or Southeast Asia, I believe.
Yeah, because there. Yeah. If you pay attention, he worked a lot of places that England colonized at one point.
Yeah, I did notice that. Did
you notice that? Because he's an English wrestler, and they had a circuit, don't you know? Tuesday and on a Monday. That's how it all fits together. Where it's like, no, that's real, because but they had a circuit. Yeah, and that's before he even got to WCW. And what I adore about these two, they look like they're fighting, and every movement they make makes sense in a grapple exchange.
Yeah.
Like, they don't just, like, let go. They have to kick the hand off, you know? And that's the kind of shit.
It was such a fun little, contrast from the match before it.
Two
completely different styles of wrestling right there, going from that first one to this grappling style, which I thought was very cool.
And I really like that it's Guerrero, who's been very high fly so far, still doing the cruiserweight stuff. But with Regal, who is very clearly a heavyweight, they even make a reference to him. He's like a mountain next to Eddie. And like, you don't realize how big William Regal is until it's like, wait, no.
Yeah, I see him with...
huge.
He's like, just a barrel.
In the video, seeing pictures of him.
When he's two trees.
When he's like 19, it's like terrifying. He's like, he is cut. And it's like, what the fuck? He's huge. But barrel, exactly. Oh my God, you said it perfectly. but they play with that in a way that's really good. Like, he picks them up for like power moves. I forget, there was one that was really wild where he picked him up for something and he gets out of it with an arm drag. And, and Regal sells it like he's surprised. Like, what even is this? And like, he's so good. I've said it before, he sells for two towns over. And like, and that's...
for sure.
Oh, so this is... it's fucking cinema. This is everything I love about wrestling.
Eric,
it really is, though. Like, I'm so happy to be doing this and occasionally dragging you into so you can get to see some early Regal.
Yeah.
And people who know these guys now, and it's like, yeah, but this is like back when they weren't dying.
Exactly. Although technically they weren't broken.
Right? Although technically Regal has a broken neck in this match. He just doesn't know it yet.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I didn't find out until like 2019, something like that.
Nice.
Yeah. Right. So thanks, Vince. Eric calls the Royal Rumble the Royal Fumble. And now it's Eric's turn to be so not mad. Like, I'm not mad at all. And I'm like, dude, you're the couple, you had them before, and now you're laying it on a little thick, and I'm just a little...
Yeah.
Let's come on now. Regal continues the crowd work, asking the crowd to applaud him and shit like that. And like,
so beautiful.
Fucking good. It does a reverse vertical suplex that looked like it would kill somebody. Like, what the fuck? And they're just playing the crowd like a goddamn fiddle. Even when there's quiet, there's this dull roar of people yelling at him while he gets offense. It's a simmering heat, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, he's getting his shine. So when Eddie proceeds to catch him out of nowhere and backslide him for the pin, like 3 seconds later, the crowd goes wild. And it's like, fuck yeah. Like, I love wrestling so goddamn much. Like, that was old school craft right there. Like, to be that pedantic wrestling fan. Like, no, that was, back in, San Martino shit and blah, 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 and all that old. but fucking great. I like too that Regal gets in the camera's face and calls America a second class country. And I'm like, you know what? Fair.
Harsh but fair.
But again, what could you run back that circuit that you ran for me again?
Exactly. Meat kettle, but
yeah, exactly. Beans on toast. Like, well, yeah, come on. We come back to the actual Mean Gene with the two bros.
One second, because I just realized that I did forget to share my favorite joke.
Oh, yes. Then we get Patty. No, please do.
Which was from the Chris Benoit and Alex. What was his last name again?
Oh, that's right.
Right. Yep. That one. And I don't know their voices well enough to know who was who talking on
the... I can figure it out.
Yeah. But one of them said, he's got him bent back like a rolled gold pretzel. I guess it was Bobby Heenan who said that.
Yeah.
Because the response was, those are fat-free, Bobby.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, like that's the kind of commentary you hear in AEW all the time. That like it's just those little quips.
I think that had to be Bischoff retorting to Bobby.
It was just a throwaway little quip. No one acknowledged it. They just move on.
And yeah, you don't have to acknowledge
that. I live for that. Yeah. That is amongst my favorite kinds of comments that you get.
I'm so happy that you made a point of pointing it out because I'm sitting here thinking I didn't catch many good Bobby this week. So thank you. This is why I like having guests because we catch each other.
Yeah, to catch that stuff.
Yeah, we catch what each other drops. This is more slow falling apart of can Lex be trusted? Lex and Sting are weird best friends, and they're gonna drag this for months.
I was gonna say this is the second one of these that I've watched, and the second I told you last time that Sting reminds me of a youth pastor, and he always has. The first time I ever heard him speak on AEW, I was like, oh, he shouldn't talk. That's a youth pastor. And this both times that I've watched him on this has been in like weird friend beef things, and he is so youth pastory that it just feels like he's like lecturing people all the time. Because he's like such a good guy or whatever.
You know who else was betrayed by his best friend?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Someone has clearly been to Sunday school.
Stinger whips the steel chair around and sits on it backwards. And, yeah. Oh, God.
Totally. Oh, man. And so I was just like, bless him. Like, I know people absolutely love Sting, but I'm like, he is not beating the youth pastor allegations with me. Two episodes of this I've watched.
It continues.
And all of the AEW I've watched.
Oh, yeah. Poor. It doesn't get. You the best he ever was when he was ripping off Heath Ledger Joker. Sorry. I can't even get mad at him. Joker Sting is so good, and it's like the only
when
time
he pulled that out on like it was sometimes towards AEW. The end of his
because he was going he was playing the hits, as I like to say. I did love that. He's like, everyone's got to remember all the cool stuff I did.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And I feel like that is the best talking Sting ever got, was pretending to be the Joker. And it's like, all right, well, someone did a lot of the legwork for you here.
Right.
But that's fine. He sold it. But also, that's so old school wrestler, is like all those old guys are just doing impressions of other people.
Right. Yeah.
Because it was before anyone was interconnected and could tell. You know, right. Dusty, we love to make fun of our American dream and all that. Dusty Rhodes on Tumblr. Oh, God. They call me a tendaquia, and I think I've made that joke 3 times now. I don't even care. It gets better though. What's Dusty Rhodes' favorite Carly Rae Jepsen album? Emotion, baby. It's terrible. All right, so
I don't know any Carly Rae Jepsen except Call Me Maybe, so I'm like, I don't, I'm not
three people happy there, and that's enough for me. But like, even that is just him doing an impression of a different wrestler.
Sure. Yeah,
it was all gimmick infringement. It's cool though, and like this actually, like it goes on forever, this tag team thing, but it's kind of cute because I realize that like what's happening here is that they're making it official. By the end of it, like they've defined it, their Facebook official, Lex and Sting are an item at the end of this little promo. They're a tag team now. And I think about it, and it's how often do you see a tag team where it's an explicit heel and an explicit face tag team? I can only think of one other one off the top of my head.
Who is that?
Team Hell Yes, Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Where they like made them work together, and it was like the stepbrothers. They hate each other and learn to love each other. And that's where the first, like, no, yes, no, yes, was fighting back and forth. So they end up calling them Team Hell No. or Team Hell Yes.
Hell Yes, yeah, that's
and then
good.
When they went, like when it. He turned heel, it became Hell No. Yeah, that was a whole thing in the late teens, 20-teens. I forget. Gosh, it all exists. It's like the horror movies. It's all in there.
It's
all swimming. But by the end of this, they define it, and I think that's kind of cute. Again, it's all very, very gay. And it's just more subtle.
This is more subtext.
It's a lot more subtext.
The other one was flamboyant. This one is subtext.
Gold Dust versus, you know, this is a melodrama, you know?
Right. Yeah.
After the commercial, we're told they're interviewing Mike Ditka for some reason on Saturday night. So I was like, all right, I feel like I got to take note of that. That's just too weird not to write down. Okay.
I'm trying to think of the last one they brought in. And like Charles Barkley or something like that in the episode. The Charles Barkley one. Like the mainstream sports tie-ins are tenuous.
They pointed out Hank Aaron in the crowd at one point.
Hank Aaron.
Yeah. Wow. Oh God. I'll say it again. I know it's a repeat, listeners. I don't care. It's one of the best Bobby lines I ever got. Mongo says that Hank Aaron hit like 700 something home runs, and Bobby says, if you listen to me, he got 800. And I was like, that's it. That's my Heenan. That's my weasel.
That's good. Yeah, I like right. That.
So like they're really laying on thick of like, look at all the mainstream actual sports stars that like our little show. Yeah.
Totally. Please, and again, AEW does that all the time, and I'm sure WWE does it as well.
Oh, it's WWE does it with everything. Oh my God, it's unwatchable sometimes. That being said, Bad Bunny can go. Bad Bunny can wrestle. Bad Bunny has a wicked Canadian destroyer.
Because I love Bad Bunny. Like, I've never seen him as a wrestler, but I love Bad Bunny.
We talked about Cassandra.
Yeah, well, okay. I love his music, and I like that he shows up in things. And yeah, he randomly is in Cassandra. And again, this is that, like, time doesn't make sense in that movie because he's clearly, like, Zoomer Bad Bunny.
Yeah, no, it's like, they changed nothing about his
look. They changed absolutely nothing about him. And I was like, what is going on?
Well, they wanted everyone to be like, well, that's Bad Bunny.
Is that Bad Bunny? Yeah.
That's clearly Bad Bunny. Yeah. Oh my God, he's weird. Making out with a guy. I'm like, yes, this movie.
Such a folks, weird.
This movie rules. Yeah. It's not good, but it rules.
No, it's not. But it's like, that's the thing, is it's like all the parts are like delightful. It's just as a film, it is shoddily made.
Yeah, it is left wanting.
It is, yeah.
Cripes. It's been a minute, so again, I'm glad to see Diamond Dallas Page back on TV, chewing a cigar and yelling at the camera. I love it. It's so over the top, but it's okay when he does it. Bobby does a misogyny, saying that Kimberly, the former Diamond Doll, should have been in back folding laundry instead of interfering in his matches. And I'm reminded that there are no heroes.
Well, yeah, there you go.
He gets me back by the end of the app, I'm pretty sure. But speaking of hero, here comes a man called Sting, and the crowd shits, and everybody misses it. DDP puts his cigar out on Sting.
Yes.
And I am reminded that wrestling is often just kink for some people.
Truth.
This is a thing. Yeah, no, this quickly feels like Sting playing the hits on DDP, which is fine by me. DDP is super entertaining. And then there was a botch out of nowhere. I hope you caught that as well. Sting went for a leapfrog and DDP came up.
Straight to the junk.
Well, I think he didn't even hit him that hard, but Sting's like, well, I gotta make that look like something. I think Sting,
exactly.
The shit. My little stingers, and like these two are great. It was great. Roll with the fuck ups. And like, that's why, like, I love seeing that, because it's like, yeah, no, that's better than, I love me some Botchamania, but sometimes it's like, guys, can we try to, even when you fuck up, do it like this.
Right. Yeah.
You know, don't break the story.
Sell
it in a way that doesn't pull you out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I wanted to take note of that, because I think that was really cool to see some of these old guys, you know, doing
totally
teaching the kids what for 34, you know, years later. But Stings up and gets his comeback, and Sting goes right into getting his shit in mode. Basically, he does the Stinger flash leg sweep, the death lock, but it doesn't end. And I was like, okay, that's weird, they're pulling this out a little bit. And then, like, this keeps happening for me. As I write something down in my notes, one of the commentators says it.
Nice.
So, like, again, Bischoff's like, this is more of a contest than I was expecting. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I know, right?
I know, I just said that, Eric. Jeez. They're really giving it, though. All right. DDP keeps on him. Sting catches him, though, and finally gets him in that deathlock. Right in the center of the ring for the win. Another beautifully crafted wrestling match. This is like several in a row now. Like, this has been a very good, I mean, God, this is a good Nitro. Again, fuck you, Vince. Fuck you, Team Gene. Which right. bullshit. I will never call your line, mostly because my parents wouldn't let me.
Well, but, yeah.
Yeah, that's a 900 number that scared them. So, but we get a beautiful look at old Charleston people cheering in the front row, and I'm nostalgic for the 90s.
Please tell me you noticed the, like, old lady who, like, probably only was, like, 50, but it's, like, 90s it's old lady.
No, 90s 50 is a 2024 yeah. 70. Like,
exactly. Slumber's just, like, all, like, she practically looks like she's wearing her apron. I don't know what she was wearing, but it looks like she's wearing her apron. Like, she just left the kitchen and came, like, kids, what are you watching?
She was making cookies, and she heard a ruckus, you know?
Oh, yeah. Came to see what's going on. She, like, high-fives wrestlers yeah. and everything. I was like, I love this
inside?
Woman.
Oh gosh. Oh good, he put it out. Oh, he put it out, but he put it out on the man. Oh geez. We should call someone. You know? It's just getting bad.
Yeah, it was killing me. It was like very like, you know, in Running Man, all the like old ladies who like are picking out their favorite guy that they want yeah. to try to kill, Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever.
Oh my god. I guess in Europe that was a thing. Like speaking of European wrestlers, like the old ladies over there will fuck you up.
Yeah.
They will fuck you up because they take that shit serious. Amazing. But wrestling grandmas, like, you know, it was on AEW recently, but that there is a long tradition of wrestle grandmas, and we got to see some good
I love
ones.
That.
Right? On the replay, it looks like you can see DDP's can of chew in his pocket of his tights.
Awesome.
That really fucking pleased me.
Good grief. I just like, couldn't leave it behind, couldn't put it in the locker room.
Well, no, man, someone's gonna take it. Someone's always taking my shit. Bang.
Can't trust those bastards.
Yeah, these are all criminals. God, no, I'm gonna go do yoga. So we're threatened then with Macho Man and Hogan after this match summarily ends, as always was going to. And I'll give them this again. This is a pay-per-view level match. Like, all four of these guys are Hall of Famers. So, like,
well, yeah, this was wrong. A good one for me because obviously these are, you're playing the like the hits here. These are the guys who, at age 10, I would have known who everybody here is in this match.
Basically,
and it was interesting because, like, I mean, they're older than everybody that we've seen in the rest of this these matches for the rest of this. And it felt very to me like not that it was a bad match, but I felt comparatively like now it feels like we're here for these personalities, like we're here for these guys, not for like their wrestling prowess at this point in their life.
And that's the thing that that's why I kept taking note of them keep going back to saying it's a pay-per-view level match. They're trying to drill that home, but when you look at it, they're saying that based on what you said off of the characters and not the wrestling, and thus undermining their own message. And it's like I see you, Eric. I see you in your little Planet Hollywood fucking leather jacket, and I know what you're up to, and I don't like it. So like, I just eyes. I'm watching you.
Right. Yeah. Totally. It was an interesting match to watch. I said this last time, but one of the things that I think is funny is that with Randy Savage, I'd never seen him without like all his regalia on. And when he gets in the ring, he takes it all off.
Yeah, he's kind of terrifying. He's a little gremlin.
He's a little gremlin man. And I'm like, in real life, I would not have been able to pick him out of a lineup. Like, he looks so different once you take off all the shit. And I was like,
it's probably by design because he like you don't wear that shit out. Like, oh, that makes sense. He's a genius.
Yeah, totally. It's like how I always say that probably, like, I imagine Jay Briscoe probably just has like a flipper for his teeth.
Yeah.
And when he goes out, like, you don't even like question who he is.
Can't be Dave. That can't be Mark Briscoe. He has all his teeth. Like,
Mark Briscoe. I mean, but Jamie Hayter too. Yeah. That like Jamie Hayter wears so much makeup that like I saw like a picture of her once where she didn't have makeup on, and I was like, would not know who that person is.
Like, I would not.
So that she can walk around, no one would have any idea who she is.
Yeah, that's super smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, okay, we all see her up here and everything, she's great, whatever, but if you were to walk past her on the street, you would have no idea. You'd be just like, it's just some pretty girl, Right? You wouldn't be like, that's Jamie Hayter.
Can you imagine showing Chapel Roan even like a sliver of the concept of what these dudes were doing in the 90s? Just living the gimmick the whole time.
Right, yeah, the whole last time.
She would be right to.
Totally.
You know, please don't take that as a dig at Chapel Roan. I love
her. No, absolutely not. Like, more power to our boundaries, yes, queen.
She
but,
can ride
yeah.
me into battle, like, on my back. Like,
totally. Lord.
Yeah, like, let's go for various yeah. lesbians. So, like, yeah. No, absolutely. And that they're going off. I mean, it makes sense because, like, right off the bat, you have the horsemen, you have Flair and Arn. Bischoff starts singing the national anthem to the pyro because it's fireworks. And like, he even says himself, oh no, I'm singing, I have to stop. And I'm like, yes, good call, Eric. What was that?
Bischoff is all of us.
Yes, Bischoff.
That moment when you realize your ADHD brain has taken over and you're singing in public.
Oh no, oh no, oh no. God.
God.
Wait, is this happening out loud right now? Oh,
please
God.
Tell me I'm doing this in my head.
Oh, Jesus. Amazing. We get one more commercial break, then Hogan gets his full entrance. And American-made Florida man. He's Team Tassels, but with Hogan colors. And this is kind of where I'm leaning even more than what you're saying, because like, you have to realize this is the Mega Powers.
Right.
Like, in WWE, these two were the tag team, and when they broke up, it was a huge storyline. So, in that essence, Vince is right. They are his leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you look at the crowd reaction and the fact that Nitro has been winning the occasional night of ratings at this point, Eric is right. People still want these guys, even if in hindsight it's cringe, you know? Like,
totally.
At the time, it's like I'm trying to put myself in the space of watching it at the time, and it's like,
holy shit, these are my guys.
These are the guys, and they're here, they're doing the things, and like, why would I be upset? And like, they're both right, and they're both being whiny little jerks about it, and like, just stop. That being said, so far this is just like you said, everyone playing the hits, and it's whatever. It's good, everyone's doing the heel things. Arn calls for a timeout, which made me giggle, and then right after I type that, Mongo calls him on it, and it happened again, and I'm like, what the fuck. Like, take note, I think I'm watching too much Nitro. Arn sells Hogan's twisting wrist lock like he's being murdered, and that I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it just, I mean, it's whatever. Everyone's going.
Yeah, it's kind of a mid-match, but it's like, it's who it is.
It is who it is, and I will say that, like, everybody but Hogan is giving their all. Hogan's giving, 25% of what everyone else is giving, which that makes sense because it's a pay-per-view level match, but he's not getting pay-per-view level paid, brother.
Right. Yeah, so, he's not gonna be putting in
pay-per-view
effort.
I ain't gonna be going over the rope bumps, dude. Like, not happening. So, like, it's gonna cost way more. So, like, whatever. But that's fine because next week he's wrestling Meng.
Who?
Do you not know Meng? Do you know Meng at? Do you know Haku?
That sounds vaguely more familiar.
You are familiar. Do you know the bloodline going on right now in WWE? Are you just a straight AEW?
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah. Not even slightly.
Haku is a member, is one of the elders of the bloodline. He's not Samoan, he's Tongan, but he...
you know what? I do think... You or Keo told me about this.
Tongaloa, do you know Tongaloa was in New Japan for a while?
Okay,
There's a couple of guys who are variations of Tonga something or other who were in New Japan. I think he had three of them. Those are his kids.
Okay.
So, like, and Haku is, like, a Hall of Famer. He was, like, you know, brought into the family. So, like, he's considered, like, bloodline. He's like one of like the Tongan offshoots of the Samoan dynasty. And also famously the most not fuck with the bull dude in the history of wrestling.
Nice. Okay.
There are multiple shoot interviews about this guy just breaking fingers in bars for fun.
Like,
you do not fuck with Haku. Also, sweetheart, total
of course, right,
bear of a guy. But you get on the wrong side and he will fucking kill you and you won't even know what's happening. Like, so that's who Hogan has to fight next week. And I'm like,
okay, gotcha.
Meanwhile, Bobby gets me back by telling us that he's in talks to manage the Miami Dolphins. And I'm like, there's my guy.
Okay, yeah.
All right, yep. I'll forgive you the other shit.
Yeah, all right.
It was a different time. Oh, I'm feeling it's gender affirming the misogyny. God damn.
Right,
it.
Yeah, there you go.
But he wins me back. The match though is slowing down a bit. The baby faces do stereo figure fours to get everyone worked up and frothy. and they go to commercial break with Bobby just yelling, "Kick him!" And I'm like, "Fuck yeah!" We need more of that in modern wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah, do hard, murder a guy. Just hit him with a. If I were in there, I'd just hit him with a hammer. Don Callis, really. It's just Don Callis.
Yes, that's true. 100%.
Here, take this screwdriver, my boy. But Bischoff says there is nothing more Arn wants than a big hunk of Macho Man's rear end, and I'm fanning myself.
Oh yeah, look at that. I'm seeing it now.
Again, warp my fragile young mind. Hulk is putting in a quarter of, I said, the effort of everyone else, and it's just okay. But to his credit, it's not taking much to get the crowd going. So, like, again, like,
right,
fuck, yep. He gets the hot take, he cleans house. Hulk the conquering hero. Mongo again says he is cleaning house seconds after I type it in my notes. And again, this is too much nitro.
So crazy.
I need to maybe take
you gotta
a break.
Like, slow it down. You know, folks, Christmas.
Yeah, if I take a week off, like, please forgive me. Arn hits a spine buster that would kill any mortal man, but Hulk is no mortal man. He is immortal Hulk Hogan because of copyright infringement. So he no-sells it and hits his combo for the three, just as the Horsemen and the Goons and everyone else come out to beat up everybody. And it's been a bit since we've gotten in a Nitro that ended with the Giant just choke slamming the piss out of everyone he can see.
It's a big boy.
As a big boy. And when it's not every week, I have to admit I love this. Like, just send them out here. Like, there was a couple months back where they literally, like, emptied the babyface locker room. And it was like the first time that you see the American males on TV, they're just getting the shit choke slammed out of them. And they're just feeding them.
I still love their, that was one of my favorite things the last time that we watched this was just the American males theme song.
Oh, I know you didn't get any this time because we've reached the end of Nitro.
No, not this time, unfortunately.
Yeah. They feed people to the Giant. They leave Hulk and Macho dead in the ring, and that's Nitro, folks. We did.
There it is.
We did it. It was so much better than Raw. Jesus God.
So much better. Yeah. Listen, even with like a, you know, just an okay last match, it was still a great episode.
I very much enjoyed this. Yeah, like it was very much solid. Fuck yeah. No, it was so much better than Raw. And I, like I said earlier, like I didn't want to do the homework and Raw was real bad. And then I sat down to do Nitro today and I was like, this is
like, oh, that's right.
I forgot I love wrestling. Like this is a delight. Speaking of loving wrestling though, Corey, do you have a favorite match of the week? Because we some sort of format here. I'm a professional.
Right. Yeah. And I was trying to, I mean, I think, over the course of like watching it and thinking about it and all that kind of stuff, each like match in Nitro has been like my favorite
at some point.
And so I'm going to go with like a heart pick more than anything else. And I'm going to say my man, Steven Regal. I was so happy to see him. The whole, like you said, just this being a more technical kind of wrestling. So it was kind of fun to compare to, like, I love my flippy boys and things normally. That's my favorite. But getting to see, I mean, a flippy boy with a big old grappling guy
and together in that match. Yeah. And have them in a way that made it seem plausible.
Right. Yeah. It was a lot of fun for me. And I've never really gotten to see him like wrestle before. I just know him as a character.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm going to give that as like that's my heart pick. I'm going to go with that.
No, that's just what I pick from every angle. So we're in agreement, but I'm so happy. I didn't realize you're not familiar.
I've never seen him. Yeah. Never seen him wrestle.
Oh, wow. This was a good one.
I'm very pleased.
Regal. Like I loved AEW Regal. Like we talked about, but Regal has always been one of my favorite wrestlers just as a kid.
Love
like,
that.
When he gets into WWE, they do some weird shit with him, but he's always, always been good. When we get done here, if you're feeling squirrely, YouTube, his retirement match was versus Claudio in NXT. And it is
wild.
It's a clinic. They do like, yeah, I'll have to check that out. Like, clinic. And again, this whole time, broken neck his whole career. He broke his neck in 93 against Steamboat. So yeah, just wild. I think our next little format, as it tells me, as I'm trying to be a professional, asks us to answer the question of who did better this week. And do we really have to?
I mean,
at some point I'm gonna go back through my notes and start to track this shit. This is like, you know, because like, if I'm gonna do this the whole way, we're doing like 6 years of work, I should have some data.
Yeah, you should definitely keep track of this,
of who's winning and who's losing. That's a good idea. But like, holy crap. Nitro
just blew it out of the water.
Raw, even, and it sickens me because, as I said, historic Raw. We got debut of Steve Austin.
Right.
We get intentional blood on television for the first time since AIDS, really. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, that's why there wasn't blood on TV. Right. It wasn't that it was too violent. It's that they were worried about AIDS.
Yeah.
So, like, that's, like, historic. It's historic.
Yeah,
totally. It was a historic, shitty episode of Raw.
Right? It's historic in the way that Fonzie jumping the shark is.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Because it's the debut of Steve Austin on Brother Love. What the fuck? Okay. Yeah. They give him the $1 million championship belt. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. And on that note, is there anything you would like to promote to the people? A podcast you might do with a certain gentleman. A little.
He's Welsh.
Welsh. Okay. Oh, pardon me. Welsh. No, I have Irish ancestry. I completely understand the faux pas I just made. I am so sorry. Fuck the English. All right.
Yeah. There we go. But yes, if you're not sick of the sound of my voice, I do a podcast about sort of the horrors of being human called Jack of All Graves, along with my Welsh co-host Mark Lewis. And on it, we just talk about anything that could potentially scare you, whether it is the ocean and all of the things that are inside it, or antimicrobial resistance, or just horror movies, or whatever the case may be. If it's something that might keep you up at night, we talk about it on Jack of All Graves. So if you want to... I love that. That makes me very happy.
Spontaneous Human Combustion, a classic. Really enjoyed it.
So much fun with that.
Yeah.
It's one of my, one of my favorite things on the show is any chance that I get to like debunk something while also telling bonkers stories that go along with it. So,
folks, if you like the idea of something called human wick theory, then please check out Jack of All Graves.
Check out Jack of All Graves. You're going to have a good time.
Places, yes. I don't know if you.
Yeah, Jack of All Graves on all the things except Twitter.
Yeah, basically. So it's similar to the rundown I'm about to spew at you and our loving audience. Thank you so much for hanging out, and thank you folks for listening. See, I've been doing this a while now. You can find us on Blue Sky at mnffpod.bsky.social. The Instagram that is being updated, thank you, at mnffpod. There may or may not be a Threads, but I don't care. It's like if you do an Instagram, they just give you one for free. It's like the U2 song on the iPhone.
Exactly.
Of social media. And you can join Patreon for the pay-per-view watch parties and all kinds of good things like that at patreon.com/mnffpod. Otherwise, we will see you again next week with me doing my homework, whether I like it or not, to see what fresh hell Vince has for us in 1996 for more Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Okay, bye.
Goodbye.